Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Good morning. I'm not Papa Jack Taylor, as you can tell. But I finally made it back up here. The last two meetings, I think, when Jack was here, I was not able to come. So I apologize for that, but I'm here now. And I'm very thankful for that. At first, I didn't want to say anything, and then the Lord kind of nudged me to get up here and say something. And in the process, I couldn't help but say, Lord, you are so good, and you are so powerful. And talk about being in the house of prophets. Thank you, Charlie. Last year, we went to Leif Hedlund's family gathering, and Sean Bowles was there as well. And unbeknownst to me, you know, I never had a prophecy over me. I mean, I'm just sitting there, and he was prophesying to people. And all of a sudden, he starts prophesying over me. The accuracy. I mean, I was really smitten. Sometimes people wonder, oh, that could, you know, whatever. But that man, he read my DNA, so to speak. He knew things that nobody else knew, except God, seriously. And then he also, and I must tell you, I was raised in a dysfunctional family. If you read my book, you can tell. And then I raised my children in a dysfunctional family. You know, usually the way we are brought up, this is the way we walk. Unless we have a powerful visitation from the Most High God by the power of His Holy Spirit, who changes everything around in our lives. And so when Sean Bowles was talking about my family, about my children, the prophecy has come through. Because my children had not communicated with one another for a long time. And just this past year, my son, who was in the Air Force for 31 and a half years, he retired. And my daughter and him had not communicated in about 20-some years. And she said, I want to come. I want to go. So she came to the retirement ceremony, and God brought the two together again. So the family is back together. And that's what Sean Bowles had prophesied. So I'm very thankful for prophets, and I think we better start to heed the word of the prophet and not dismiss and say, oh yeah, whatsoever, you know. And then if it's something that the Lord tells us about ourselves, what we will do, we better look for a way to start walking it out. Because if we want a breakthrough in our lives, we cannot sit on our blessed assurance and wait for that breakthrough. Then we need to get up and move and go about it. Amen? So I bless this house in the name of Jesus. And here is Papa Jack. Thank you.
Where are the Kleenex? I may not need them now, but I've been doing a lot of weeping lately. That's my other language. And an emotional, any type of emotional overload, I start weeping. I'm expecting, you know, the Bible talks about God bottling our tears. I think that's really literal. I think he will he'll take you to the shelf and show you the tears you've shed. And some of them are ouch tears. They're broken-hearted tears. And then there are tears of emotional overload when God does something beyond your imagination. For the last 2.5 months, I've not been very many minutes from one of those experiences. I don't understand it. I'm undone. I love it so much that the dullest thing I do is go to sleep. And the most exciting thing I do is come awake. Woke this morning at 2:30, feeling like a million, and sat down to begin to pray for my sons and their families for the next hour or so, and just to enjoy the pleasures of God. So I'm not going to preach. I know that'll be an encouragement to you. But I'll sort of make it sound enough like a sermon to where you feel like maybe you've been to church. There are some times when we just need to hear the voice of the Father. And I like being a father, and I'm not talking about your hearing me. I'm talking about hearing him. If I'm going to be one, I've got to know one. Because nobody knows about this business of fathering except God. And we're going to get it right. We really are. Until every child of God recognizes God as Father. And that may not sound serious to you, but it's all about that. You see, there's nothing we believe about the gospel that is understandable in itself. And if we don't understand the whole, W-H-O-L-E, we will never understand the part. Come on. And so we've been really involved, all of us, I think, all of our lives, looking at the parts. And the more you look at the parts, the more parts there are to look at, and the more confused you get, and you're messed up. And the time has come when God is about to reveal what he's about. Now, he would have done that a long time ago if we'd been ready. But it takes a lot of massaging on the part of God to get us ready. So let me just make an overarching statement. Everything that is happening to you, everything that has happened to you, everything that will happen to you, everything that you're thinking about is being used of God to bring you to the place where he becomes real to you. Amen. And if we try to fit what is happening to us into man's idea of life at its best, we'll misthink. We'll be undone. Charlie said in joking, of course, that he had a bet that I was going to preach on the kingdom. Whoever he betted, whoever he bet with, you lost. Oh. And I'll tell you why. There's nothing else to preach on. Because the kingdom is everything. And this is what I've found the most delightful thing. And I wake up every morning with this delight. wherever you are, head for the kingdom. Don't check with anything else. The last time I checked, when Jesus was talking, he said, help me finish this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, if you are there thinking of anything else, it is, and a lot of it will bother you. If you are 2 seconds away from thinking about something without quickly seeking the kingdom, you have misthought. If you've had to check with anything to see how you're doing, or if you're asked a question about what's going on in the world, and you began to speak without seeking the kingdom, you misspoke. Because you misthought. And what God is doing today is extremely violent. Welcome to the kingdom. And we've been trying to make everything less than violent. We've been trying to make it easy. That's not what man's looking for. So I'm an old man. I'm so old that old people call me old. When you get 70, you're elderly. When you get 80, you're old. And the older you get in 80, the older you get. And I love it. Don't let anybody sell you on the bad side of getting old. Look at me. I'm alive. I got a great prophecy last year, and this was it. Said, by the way, the Lord told me to tell you that you're old enough now to where you can say anything you want to and get by with it. Well, I was doing that anyway, but when I got the liberty to do it prophetically, look out. So, hey, do you know what an idol is? Anything you have to check with before you say yes to God. When you bow to worry, you are an idolater. When you bow to expediency, you're an idolater. When you bow to others' opinions, when you bow to situations, you're an idolater. Now, all of us are idolaters. But shorten the time by doing the right thing immediately when there's a choice. Seek the kingdom. Now, that's a chapter in the book, and I don't have time to preach it, so just do it. You're seeking something. You're practiced in seeking. Check your seeking, and if the kingdom's not first, that's the reason why you're going through what you're going through. And start seeking the kingdom. Well, you say, how do you do that? You know how to seek football, don't you? You know how to seek worry? Check your checkbook, you know. And just begin omitting those things that become an idol. Good things can become an idol. Good things. Those are the things that have to go as well. Last time I checked, God wanted everything, good, bad. He wanted it all. He wanted your worries. He wanted your frets. He wanted your feelings about yourself, of disorder, and so on. Now, I've said all that to say this. The first thing about the kingdom you need to know is that it is love-driven. It is love-driven. Yes. Now, the second thing is it's father-centered. And that opens a whole new realm of thought. But I want to get to this love-drivenness. And I want to read you a passage.
Keep preaching.
And if you're under conviction like Charlie, you can bring offerings as well. So. Let me read you this. I'm not even going to tell you where it is because I by the way, how many of you have your Bibles? That's what I thought. I appreciate all the Word of God being on the phone and on our iPods and iPads and whatever you got. But I'll tell you what, I don't get over the Bible. I'm not jumping on you for not bringing your Bible, but bring your Bible. Get caught with it every once in a while. And but anyway, I'm just going to read it because I want to. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God. Now, you're getting some overtones here that I don't think we've thought through. God's the only source of love, and love that doesn't include God is not love. Not in God's book. And the proof in the end that you're saved, that you're His, is that you inevitably love. Now, it may be covered up with a lot of junk, but there is in you the capacity to love, and it came from Him. Okay. And anyone who's been born of God loves and knows God. Amen. You know God. There's something God planted in you that is a key to knowing Him, and that is love. Amen. The capacity to love. It's the most mysterious component in the human frame, love. We don't know what it is. Describe love. Just try to define it. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Did you get that? God is love. To claim to know God and not love makes you a lie, a living lie. Pretty serious. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God did something. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Love consists in this. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. Now, there's a word for you. I find that one out of 50 Christians knows why that is. You know what propitiation is? Sure you do. You're educated. You have a prophet in the house and a teacher, and he's a wise man. A propitiation. Propitiation is a highly legal term and possibly is the thing of greatest value in your salvation circle of things. There's forgiveness, there's sanctification, there's regeneration, there's restoration, there's empowerment, there are 100 other things. God comes to live in us. But here it is. Look. Propitiation is the decisive and complete satisfaction of the holiness of God by your trusting in Jesus. In other words, it is God's violated holiness totally satisfied. If you believe that, you could never let the devil get by with accusing you of anything. And believing it for a minute. Your self-value is gauged, is controlled by what you think of yourself. And if you don't think of yourself like God thinks of yourself, you have a wrong self-image. Most of your problems in relating to problems lie in the fact that you can't get yourself in your mind right. And you bring on extra suffering. Now, I know that because I'm the king of it. I've done it. And if you do it and I have a chance to warn you beforehand, you don't have to go through what I went through. For instance, this, let me tell you about myself. I was born in the country. I was the 1, 2, 3, 4th kid. Baby of the family for 7 years till my baby sister came along and saved me. And I didn't think anything of myself. I hated myself. I knew me. I had the best documented case of self-image and unimportance and nothingness in my camp. I went to school when there were 11 grades. We had the 12th grade. I skipped a grade, and it comes out that I look intelligent because I graduated from high school at 15, college at 19, with average intelligence. At the best, we had 33 in high school. I was a valedictorian, 7 in my graduating class. Mercy. My brother was valedictorian. There were 4 in his. My other brother was valedictorian. There were 2 in his. My baby sister was salutatorian. You know, that's 2nd. There were 15 in hers. So, I just had all the statistics for unimportance. And I've had to have several salvations. I hope you know what I mean. The problem with most people is when they got saved, they stopped getting saved. And you say, you can get saved more than once? I guess so. I was saved this morning 3 times. Did you ever tell somebody to get over it? Yeah. I do that because, you see, it seems to be rude. But when I say get over it, it means I have enough confidence in you that somewhere in you is something that'll help you get over it. Yes. And I'm not jumping on people when I say get over it. Look at me, I got over it. And I'm still getting over stuff, and I'm going to tell you about the most important one that has ever happened to me, aside from the day I met Jesus, and I didn't recognize the importance of that because nobody told me. Not one person told me what happened to me when I got saved. Well, if they'd have told me half of it, I'd have had a fit. It'd have been different. I wouldn't have gone through what I went through. I'm eager to tell you the truth about who you are and what has happened to you and what ought to be continually happen on a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment basis. I have to live a long time because I've got to get this unloaded. I've got to tell it. And I didn't get it for the first 20, 30, 40 years. I got a lot and helped a lot, but I'm going to tell you about the big discovery, and that's 2 months ago. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. You're 84. Okay, you ready? So I'm a papa. I didn't choose to be a papa. I stumbled into it. I just inherently had something in me that made me want to help people who were in a mess, and preachers are a mess, and headed for messers, and I was a mess, and it just helped me in a mess to help people in a mess, because when you understood their mess, you understood your mess, and you could help them unmess the mess. Okay. So look at me. Let me tell you, everybody here is in a mess. You're not just in a mess; you are a mess. But you're a mess with a word here that has been spoken of God and a God inside you who loves you to pieces, who is going to unmess the mess. And the quicker you can cooperate with Him, the better off we will all be. And Jack, that was good. I never heard you say that before. This is recorded. Yes, yes. Only copy of it. You're a mess. You know how I know? Because I'm a mess. Being unmessed. God is the great unmesser. I'm going to tell you how he does it. You ready for this? He loves. I'm going to tell you in the next 10 minutes the greatest thing I've ever learned about love. Greatest thing ever learned. Hands down. I think you know it, but I don't think you've celebrated it. Because I don't think 1 out of 100 can articulate what I'm about to articulate to you, because it happened to me. And there are a lot of collateral things I could share, but I'll just share with you the experience. Frieda and I, she goes every year to visit her family in Germany. And on three or four of those trips, I've made it with her and plan to do the same this year. And we had more things happen to try to keep me from going. We had a knockdown dragout. I mean, she was awful. And I was awful. And I said, well, I'm just not going. But I repented and we went. And God sent somebody to us. And I won't even tell you that, but it'll take a lot of time. But we knew a miracle was in the business when I'd gotten an email from a lad from North Carolina, by the way, who 7 years ago God told him to go to Germany and start a church, which is off the charts. None of his family spoke German. There was no reason under heaven, just one reason from heaven, and that is go to Germany. And he knew one thing. He had discovered the Father's love and believed what I'm about to tell you. That when you get the Father's love, I'm not talking about believing in it. I'm not talking about telling about an experience of getting saved. I'm talking about getting the Father's love. I'm talking about getting it. Do you get it?
Yes,
sir. No, you don't get it. But you're going to get it. And you're going to keep getting it. So here we go. I'm walking in the pre-dawn morning of July. June then. We took two trips. This is the first trip in June to Germany. And I'm talking to God about love. I said, God, I talk about your love. I love people. I love you. I love life. But if I had to grade myself on how well I've loved, I would have to give me an A minus or a B or a B minus. I want to love you. I heard you say through your son, this is the greatest commandment. Did you hear that? This is the greatest commandment. This is the greatest commandment. Yeah. And did you read what Paul wrote when he wrote the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians on love? How important it was. You can be a dynamic speaker and be rich and give everything to the poor. And if you don't have love, it's N-O-T-H-I-N-G. It's nothing. It's what you can't get life without getting. What everything is whittled to a zero that doesn't include love. And I said, God, I want to love you. And he brought up the illustration. We had a little dog, Dachshund, very small, less than 8 or 9 pounds. We loved that dog. She lived 17 years. Susie was her name. Sorry, Susie. And Susie loved us. You could tell. She was a mess. We could leave Susie, and if we left anything in the house that could be torn up, where she could get it, we would come back and Susie would have had it torn up. She just didn't like being alone. But when we came in, she was all love. I mean, jumping up on us and clawing and getting in our way and making us stumble because Susie was trying to love us. And God said, that's how you've been with me. You don't have to try to love me. I said, wait a minute, hold it. All this time I've been trying to love you. And there are times when I've done my best and feel good about it. I didn't know that God was about to drop a bomb on me that would change my life. It really has. It's baptized the kingdom message in a fresh, new way. And this is what I heard. Do you think that when I require you to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, doing the best you can, who told you that you could manufacture from your concept and practice and knowledge of love that you could come up with the kind of love I'm looking for? I wondered where we were going. And he reminded me of the lead song in The Phantom of the Opera. Anybody remember what it is? All I ask of you is to love me. That was my song about a month before I met Frida to look at her with an eye of love. I heard that song and I wept through it all. All I ask of you is to love me. I said, okay, God, I understand. All you ask of me is to love. He said, no. You let me say that to you. All I ask of you is to let me love you. Amen. And you can't love God with your love and love God like He wants to be loved. I'm a pretty good lover. I love my sons. I love my family. I love my wife. Just a dang good lover. But when I heard this from God, it shattered me in a good way. Somebody finish this. We love God because. Have you operated on that? Look at it. Why do we love Him? Say it again. How do we love Him? with our love? Oh, we love him because he first loved us. Does it not then stand to reason that we're going to practice love by receiving love, not trying to manufacture within our weak and stumbling emotions the concept of love? Do you understand now that God's about to have a love reformation?
Yeah.
500th year of the Reformation. I've been weeping through materials on the Reformation, 500 years. 500 years ago, Calvin, great man, great theologian, and in the string of followers, Luther, Zwingli, greats in the Reformation. Ultimately, the Wesleys, the Whitfields, and Christianity got into a war. The Arminians believed in free will. The Calvinists believed in, and both of these are varied. Much of the body of Christ is unaware. Let me stop right there and ask you, how can we hope that we can get along politically, racially, in class, socially, while the church is hopelessly, seemingly divided about almost everything? The amillennialist fighting with the premillennialist, and the premillennialist fighting with the postmillennialists, and the folks come along and are panmillennialists. It's going to pan out in the end. And we fight so much over when Jesus is coming and what's going to happen before and after that we forget that he's coming. We're divided. Why? Do you ever get your email ends with LOL? What is that? Somebody tell me what that means. Oh. I thought it meant love a lot. I like that better. So here we go. You'll never forget this. Every time you see LOL, you think of the problem, lack of love. There's not anything wrong with the world that love in practice, evolving upward, could not cure and fix and have a heaven on earth.
Yes.
Lack of love. What's wrong with your marriage? Lack of love. What's wrong with your business? Lack of love. What's wrong with yourself? Lack of love. Now, what's the cure to that? LOL. Lots of love. So say it with me. Lack of love.
Lack of love.
Lots of love.
Lots of love.
There's the problem.
There's the solution.
Okay, so let me just work from that outward, and then when you get tired, I'll quit. I started reading the hymn books and started weeping through the hymn books. I sat down at the piano and began to play the hymns. Dear God, where's that one been? Hey, I just got the hymns. Did you ever sing the hymn, The Love of God? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. He gave his son to win the erring child. He reconciled and saved him from his sin. Did you know about the verse that was written on the walls of an asylum? Somebody had an attack of sanity. Wrote this rather lengthy poem, The Love of God. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Get it. And were the skies of parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. Have you ever heard anything like that? Let me say it again. Get it. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? Listen to this. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. And could the scroll contain the whole? Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I don't want to be a simpleton, but I do want to be a simplest. Your problem is not your ability to love. The moment you were saved, there was deposited in you not a quality, but a person who is ultimately and immediately love. The whole Trinity lives in you. Well, wait a minute. God's in heaven. I know it. And Jesus, in appearance, is in heaven. He's not here bodily. You can't see him. But when he left, he described something that we don't understand. He said, I'm leaving. I must leave because if I don't go, he won't come because I must send him from there. But he said, when he comes, the Father and I will come and live in you. And God is saying to you, all I ask of you is to let me love you. And I'm in that pipeline right now. I really am. And it's difficult. And you will fall back on, well, Lord, I want to try. He said, wait a minute, we stop trying. Because your love for me is based on my love for you. And when you try, it means what you're trying to do is love me with your love. And I'm not interested in having your love to love me. I gave you my love so that you could take it and throw it back in my face. And so this is what I know. Seek the kingdom. Gather your life in all of its commitments and write over it, put the template of the kingdom over it until every thought that does not wind up at the throne is erased. And it's like the first time I became acquainted with one of those air conditioners that not only cooled the air, but cleared the air. And I was sitting, and doesn't happen now, it'd be a lot of noise, but a fellow was down the street from the church, and I went down there and we were sitting in his office and that thing would go pow! A little sound like a spark. I said, what's that? He said, that's little cells of something in the atmosphere, and when it comes within the electronic capacity of the air conditioner, it explodes it, disables it. So if there's anything toxic in the air cleans it. What if that's love in you? God's charge of love with ultimacy. Are you hearing me? He has put that in you, and we can activate it until it becomes a culture of love. Are you getting this? Yeah. This is the first time I've talked about it really to this extent. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just reporting you about where I am. Are you getting it? Okay, I'm going to ask you to give up. Give up trying to love God. Your very trying is an act of unfaith. If you're trying to love God, you're trying to love Him with your love. And it may be noble and high and faithful and strong, but His love is transcendent to your love, and He has put it in you and said, hey, it's the most important thing in the world for you to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So give me your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I in you, who am in Christ, the Holy Spirit. You know what I started doing? I started imagining. I am in the Trinity. I'm just not in God. Christ is not just in me. I am in Him. That's about as intimate as you can get. In. And God says, I want you to practice letting your feelings get wrapped around walking into the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They've been together for all of time. They were here in eternity past. I don't care how old the earth, I don't care how long that was ago. It doesn't matter to me. The only thing that really gets me is that in the beginning, God was all there was. God there was all there needed to be until God made decisions like He wanted to, and you got included in that decision, and that's the reason you're here today. And He had all this figured out until man sinned. He still had it figured out, but man lost the capacity because he chose the wrong tree of knowledge instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, instead of the tree of life, and he lost his mind. Well, he still had one, but it was all broken and worthless and useless and guaranteed to say and do and be the wrong thing. And you got saved. Born again. Became somebody you never were. Gave you a new nature. And that nature practiced becomes a culture, a visible culture. It's messy sometimes. A visible culture. I think the best thing I heard last week was, we're concerned with strategies and methods. Listen to me. The culture of love has strategy for breakfast every morning. The culture of love has methods for breakfast every morning. What am I saying? All your methods, all your little ways, all your plans, all your dreams that are based on the best you could do, if God was doing all He could do in you, give that up for Lent. I'd just say, God, looks like we're just stuck with one thing, and that's love. Now you have faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love greater than faith? Yeah. Faith's not any good if it isn't filled with love. Hope? Hope is based on faith. Faith based on the Word of God. Right back where you started. And the Word of God says what? When you pray, pray like this. Our Father. 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 Our Father. Live there a while. Our means us. It means all of us who know Him, all of the redeemed, our Father. Stop praying if you don't practice it. Don't let your mouth get on something with love gone. I don't care if it's Hillary. And if somebody could bring up a name and you choose to try to love them with your love, you're going to fail and get angry. So, and that's idolatry. So God says, hold it. What are we going to do? I'm going to seek the kingdom first. Okay. What about the kingdom? It's driven by love. You can't go in it. You can't catch it anywhere without it exuding love. Family, love. God desires, let me sum this up. Book's coming. I don't know when. Let me just put some things down that in your heart. God deserves, demands, God desires, demands, and deserves, and expects to be loved by His children. You believe that? Not, this is, okay. If I run into something, you do this, we'll stop and have a little chat. Okay? Every believer really, really, really wants to love God. If you don't want to love God, you're lost as a goose. There was born in you love. If you can cover it up, if you can cover up the love of God and start acting stupid, something's badly wrong. We need to counsel. See? He is in you to be God, not to help you, but to be you, to act in your stead. He has given you the mind of Christ. And you know what we have the habit of doing? Well, this is what I think. That's a good time to just cut it off. I mean, hey. It's like opinions. Everybody, it's like elbows. Everybody has a couple of them. And I didn't mean to get to preaching. Let me back up. Every believer, thirdly, every believer has surely tried to love. I think every believer here has tried to love God. Here's the common mistake. Because few believers feel that they have been successful in loving God. So here's the common mistake. Trying to love God with our best human love. I give that up. Just give it up. The kind of love God is seeking is His own. Get it? His own. In us, being remitted immediately back to Him. Why does God love you? How do you benefit from that love? You love Him back. I don't know whether you know this or not, but God loves to be bragged on. Not because he's a narcissist. He could afford to be. He's God. But He loves you to thank Him and be thoughtful enough to say, God, you're something else. Yeah. There's nobody like you. I like you. And then enumerate it. I don't know the relationship, but I'm standing before you healthier than I was 30 years ago. As far as I'm concerned, except in a few ways, and better condition. I don't know how much this has to do with it, but loving Him will heal you. Amen. And allowing Him to love you is what allows you to love Him. Now, one of the problems is when you discover something, you sound to people like you think you're the only one that has discovered this. I want to be as tender with you as I can, but as decisive as I can. So I want you to decide one thing today, just to make it simple. Uh, I want you to decide to practice letting God love you. You say, well, how do you do that? Shut up. Just shut her down. And this is what will happen. You will shut down. Stop praying as you were when you did what Papa Jack said to do. And your mind's just going to race around. God said, no, not that. I want you to be still and let me love you. I'm not good enough at it to tell you how. But I'm finding out how to do it. So would it be all right for us to kind of practice? How many of you are saved? I think that's everybody here. Or if you're not, let me tell you how simple it is. I've been saved for 74 years. Equal heir with Christ, joint heirs of all of the riches of God. Forgiven, regenerated, saved, sanctified. And He is our propitiation. We're satisfying to God. You can get what I've had for 74 years. Get in with everything I've had for all these years by just saying yes to Him and letting Him be who He said He is in you, with one responsibility above all the others, and all the others will fall to pieces until you practice this one. They'll be partial. So God says, let me love you. I said, okay. Would you just bow your head? That's not because that's in the scripture. Bow your head and close your eyes. That's not in scripture. We do that because I want you to shut everybody else out but you. Focus on yourself just a minute. Now, you know how to love because you've loved yourself. That means you value yourself and your own opinion, generally higher above than others. You know how to love yourself. Now just use that as a means of transferring how you feel about your best, how you feel about you yourself when you're doing the best you can and know it, and it seems to be working. You've been there, satisfied with yourself, and that's not bad. Hey, that's good. I mean, it's just wrong to think about you. You're going to think about yourself. Stop condemning yourself. You live with yourself. I need myself. I need my mind. But the purpose of my mind is to tap into God's mind, and the purpose of my love is to trail that love to where it started, and I know I can only love to the measure that I receive His love. So I want you to get in receiving mode. I don't know what that is. I like to just put out my hands and say, God, look, I've graded myself poorly in trying to love you. Now, I want to let you love me. I want you to teach me how to let you love me. Just think it. God, I know you love me. Because you gave your son to die for me. You watched him die when you could have killed those who were killing him. And you chose me over him. You love me enough to lose him. And God is saying to you right now, I love you. what he's also saying, I believe, there are areas that you've never let my love into that part of your life. If you've not forgiven somebody, God's been shut out, and your love has a hole in it. And that may seem tough, but just let him love you. I love you, my child. There's not a thing about you I don't know, and I love you. Still, if it were to do over again, I would give my son again. If I could die as God, I would die for you now. That's how much I love you. I love you with a love unconditional. And you've never loved unconditionally. You've put some ifs in your love. And you've loved conditionally. So God says, I rely on your ability that I've put in you to love me. And I'm asking you to begin to practice letting me love you. Caught in the vortex of the raging storm of love, continuously in the Trinity, God loving Jesus, Jesus loving God, the Spirit loving Jesus, Jesus loving the Spirit, the storm of love, ultimate, powerful, unconditional love. I'm asking you into this fellowship right now. Walk in. Yes, that's what you're feeling, love. I want to be your papa. I want to be your father. I love the Son. I love the Spirit. The Spirit loves the Father. Your love is conditional and consistent. Human affection. But I love you eternally, only. Immediately, unflawed, unconditional love. A love more powerful than hate, more powerful than worry, more powerful than being crushed, more powerful than woundedness. My love heals. How much I love you. Son, show them your scars. Where nails pierced hands and feet. Show them your brow, where 150 or 200 wounds were infected by the crown of thorns. And when he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? I didn't answer. Because it was more important for me to love you and let my son die so that you could love me back. So would you repent with me again? God, I've tried, but I've been like Susie. My little dog, I've been trying to love you, and I'd get in your way, and I'd try to love you with my love, and I'd get mad with you because my love's conditional. When you don't behave like I want you to, I defect for a moment. I'm never more in touch with my authentic self than when I'm loving God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, I see your scars. I see you hanging between heaven and earth on a rugged, splintered cross. And your arms stretched out are shouting to me, "This is how much I love you and how much you can love me." The love I give you, he says, is reciprocal, alternating, ever increasing, replete. I love you, I really do. Not with a love like yours, but with a love like mine. And one of the best things about it is that when you let me love you, you are empowered, enabled, equipped to love me back like I want to be loved, and we can have heavenly fellowship on the way to heaven. Yes, my deity transcends your humanity. My thinking overpowers. And ingrains my love through every cell of your body. Let him love you. Let him love you. Lord, I pray right now that this message would be a seed in every heart here, and that in the coming next few days, there would be a transformation of love, a substitution of your love in the place of ours. And let me be a witness in the midst of the powerful, raging storm of love that now flows in the Holy Trinity, right here among us. And let us sense it. And then look with eyes of love on everything that has mystified us, everything that gives us anxiety. And let, as we look through the news and take those juicy bits of people who they're about to go to prison, they're being exposed, and we start taking sides. Lord, would you remind us, LOL, lack of love is the problem. Lots of love is the answer. Of the themes that men have known, one supremely stands alone. Through the ages, it is shown. God's wonderful love. Can't beat it. You can't outlove him. But watch him love himself through you, and watch the changes it will make internally, in your body, and in your mind. How you think about names like the neighbor. It's hard to get along with. The names we see in the paper, and we take sides, hate one and love the other. The people that are mindlessly like herds of cattle tearing up a city. Like those who with ugly faces distorted with hate speaking out. Until we can love them. Until we can love the hell out of them. So, Lord, we don't know all that you want to do, but I think the best thing is for us to just love you like you love us, and love each other as you love us. Thank you for the word of Jesus, closing out the prayer in John 17. The love that you have for me is in them. Wow. That they may be one even as you and I are one. Somebody's going to have to think one. E pluribus unum, out of the many. One. We're going to have to change our language and change our thought system and change our habits. So, Lord, we report in for duty today. Thank you that you're never through saving us. That if we, on your schedule, we'd be more saved tomorrow than we were today. More redeemed, more normal, more godly. Thank you that the culture of the kingdom is the only culture that bids us move, upwardly mobile, continuously, never going the other way, always getting better, never being less happy, always more. Thank you that of all the traits of the kingdom, it never loses its peace and never stops growing. Of the increase of your government and peace, there is no end. Thus, we ought to answer one another. How are you doing today? Better than yesterday. Better right now than a minute ago. Better tomorrow than today. And it doesn't stop getting better until stepping into heaven is not a long set of stairs, but simply taking one more step and saying, I knew it. I knew what it was like. I began to enjoy it that day. I really let you love me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.